Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub. I'm the leader of the Fidget Revolution, as well as a master printer and digital artist at Indian Hill Imageworks in Pawhat, Vermont. Well, here we are at part four of my review of a new Kodak Portra 400-speed film. Over the last couple of weeks, I've tortured the living bejesus out of this film. I've shot it in mixed lighting. I've shot landscapes, portraits, you know, overexposed it by four, five, six stops, underexposed it. Really just tried every single thing I could to see sort of what the limits of this new material are. Additionally, I did a lot of testing and scanning and just seeing, you know, how well this image would scan on a variety of different scanners, you know, and what was really possible, you know, for the working digital artist. Many of you who have been following this post here on Digital Revolution know that in post number 2, 3, and 3A, I asked you to vote. I wanted your opinion as to what you thought about this film. So I kind of made a Pepsi challenge. I had film A and film B and didn't tell you what the two films were. I posted an example image of each and had you vote directly as to which one you liked. And the votes are very interesting. So without any further waiting here, film number A is the Fuji 400H. Film number B is the new Portra 400 by Kodak. And that's true for every single post. So in every post that you voted, film A was the Fuji, film B was the Kodak. And now let's take a look at your voting. In part two, where I talked about skin tones, we looked at the image at box speed and also at a two-stop overexposure of an index of one, an EI of 100. Now, this is a classic technique for a lot of wedding and portrait photographers to overexpose their film by a stop or two. Tightens up the grain, and particularly on 400H by Fuji, it gives a little more sort of soft pastel sort of skin quality. What's interesting, though, if you look at the votes, they're very close. The Fuji has 39% of the vote, the Kodak has 43% of the vote, and the little bit of each category has 17% of the vote. What that means is that it's very subjective. The margin of error between those two is so tiny that, you know, some people like the softer pastel look of the Fuji, some people like the look of the Kodak. It's really just personal preference. It's very subjective. I think both of them look very nice. When we get to the next vote, which was for the usable exposure index range, in this test, I rated the film down as low as 25 and 50, and also underexposed it out to 1600. And what's interesting, if you look at the poll results, film A, film B are exactly tied, 45% of the vote each. The little bit of both category got 9%. What does this tell me? Well, based upon you, the readers here in Digital Revolution, that it's really, once again, subjective. Either you like the look of A or you like the look of B. Both of them are really good. It just depends on what look you want. When we get out to the third test, which was testing the film in part 3A at 3200, here is the one test where absolutely Kodak has the margin of winning on. You know, film A, once again, which is the Fuji, had 42%. Film B, which is the Kodak, had 52%, and a little bit of each had 5%. So in this one case, the Kodak had more votes. Both films are absolutely decent at 3200. I think the Kodak is a little better. One thing I will say about shooting at 3200, you know, that's a real extreme underexposure for this particular material, and you kind of want to, you know, cross your fingers, you know, and say a little prayer before you do it, because it's your metering's got to really be spot on. You don't have a whole lot of margin for anything to go wrong at that level of underexposure. So it's just something to be aware of, you know. I would not recommend day in and day out shooting either one of these two films at 3200. 1600 to me, solid. 3200's a little bit on the edge, but it's nice to know that you can if you need to. So having now looked at all of your votes and looked at the testing that I've done that I've posted here on Fidgetal, as well as private testing that I've done for my own works, what are sort of my final conclusion thoughts about this particular film? Well, first off, I like it. I like it quite a bit. And it's interesting to understand why Kodak came out with this particular film. You know, before they made two films, now they're making one. They made 400NC, 400VC. When those two films were initially introduced, the difference between the two films was quite a bit. At the very last generation, the two films had become very close to where the differences in color and contrast between the two films wasn't that great. This film kind of hits the balance between the two. This film has finer grain than those two films. This film also has, in my mind, from I've scanned the other films in the past, it's a little easier to scan. So it's an improvement upon the films that Kodak was making before. Is it a radical jump forward into the future? No, but it is an improvement. Now, Kodak claims on the box of their film that this is the finest grain 400-speed color negative film. I also think that that claim is going to have to be subjective, because when I look at all the different images here that I did through the testing, I like the grain in both of them. The Kodak grain is a little sharper, the Fuji grain is a little rounder and a little softer. With regards to which one is the finest, you're going to have to make that decision. I think it's a subjective call. In terms of scanning the film, if you're going to do a lot of massive overexposures, if you want to make this your one film that you're going to put in your camera and you're going to go out and shoot for the day, and you're going to do a lot of massive overexposures, like, you know, 25, 50, 12, the Kodak might have an edge there also over the Fuji, in that when you look at the negatives on the light box, the Kodak negatives don't build up nearly as much overall density as the Fuji negatives do. The density is much more controlled. And what that means is it's going to be much easier to hit those densities on even a medium Soder level scanner. Whereas the Fuji, once you get down around 25, the negative is pretty dense. And you're going to have a fairly decent scanner to really hit all that information and all that density. Whereas on the Kodak, when I was even down at 6, the negative was totally scannable. That's, once again, you know, something at least to keep in your mind. In terms of the color of the two films, the Fuji film has a tendency on almost all the tests to be a little softer than the Kodak color. The Kodak color's got a little more punch to it, a little bit more red in the skin tone. You have to decide which look you like. But I think it's important to remember that we're using this particular film in the digital workflow. That is to say, you're going to be scanning this color negative to bring it into the digital domain. As a result, you have a tremendous amount of control over that color in Photoshop and in your scanning software. So if you want to shoot the Kodak, but you want it to look a little more pastel, with a little bit of skill in Photoshop or scanning, you can do that. And vice versa, you can make the Fuji have more punch. So I tried to do the scans so they were neutral, try to really show you where the film sort of comes in a neutral standpoint. But just to know that these films are both very malleable with regards to their exposure and with regards to their color capabilities. So at the end of the day, I like this film a lot. I'm primarily a slow film shooter. I like, you know, Fuji Reala, Ektar 100. I like the grain usually of a 100-speed film. But I have to say the forgiveness of exposure of this material, it's kind of hard to beat. I was doing a shot 2 days ago, and I had some Ektar and I had some with the Portra 400 loaded up. And the negatives that I shot on the Ektar of a particular scene are a little thin on the shadow end because that exposure latitude is more narrow. Whereas, you know, the Portra 400 was very forgiving and I have beautiful shadow detail. Yes, I have more grain, but, you know, that's something that I can live with. So I think this is a test that you should go out, buy yourself a roll of the Portra, or buy yourself a roll of both of the films, and you decide what you like. At the end of the day, this is going to be a film that I keep in my bag. Is it an absolute home run? No. But it is a better film than what Kodak had before, and I think, you know, in this day and age and where film is at, that's all we can really hope for. Thank you very much for listening. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. Have a great day.